Good morning. Earlier this week, I was on a flight to Salt Lake City, and I just started a business in the last several months, and they have an annual meeting for 2 days, Tuesday and Wednesday, this time of year. And last time I flew out, I had Justin get me a standby buddy pass, which normally has worked well, but last time it was a disaster, and he had to drive me to Omaha, and the only reason I got back okay is because he was watching me every step of the way and calling me and telling me what was going on. So this time I spent the extra money on a real ticket, confirmed ticket. Yeah. Monday after work, I left Des Moines for Dallas. We got to Dallas, and there's weather, so we're circling. And then we ran out of gas, so we had to go to Tulsa to refuel. And every other plane did the same thing. So we waited in line for fuel. We got back to Dallas, and my flight from Dallas to Salt Lake had been canceled because that plane had been diverted too, and it hadn't made it in. And so I go to American's customer service desk, and the line's 5 miles long. So I'm, forget this, I'm going to go get something to eat. And I happened to see a gate that was empty. Just one American Airlines guy sitting there, no line, no waiting. So I talked to him, and he says, well, there's a flight in the morning, but it's full. There's a flight at 5:50 p.m. There's only one seat left. I said, well, it's a two-day thing. I'll miss half of it if I do that. He says, well, let me get creative. So he sent me to L.A. I had about 20 minutes to get across Dallas Airport, which is huge. Got there just as they were boarding. Went to L.A. All the food places are closed when I got there. And spent 5 hours in LAX and left there and got to Salt Lake at 9 a.m. the next day. I've added up the mileage as almost 3,000 miles, and my original itinerary was 1,600. So that was fun. That was 5 airports. So on the way back, there was weather in Denver. Landed in Colorado Springs. Then the weather hit there. And long story short, I did the exact same thing. Went to Chicago and stayed for 5 hours. Flew in back into Des Moines Thursday morning. So this was kind of a lot. That's 5 airports each way. So along the way, I was pretty frustrated. I was pretty tired. I didn't know if I would make those flights. You know, I know everything that happened now after the fact. At the time, I didn't know. I didn't know when I'd get the chance to eat something again because the way it worked out both times, I ate something around lunchtime, and then the next layover was so short to hit the next connecting flight that by the time I got to an airport when I had time, when I had 5 hours to sit around, everything was closed. So I had no idea when I was going to finally get to my destination. Well, it turns out on the flight from Salt Lake to Denver, I was reading a book called Battlefield of the Mind. I'd almost left it at home because I'd had a hard time getting into it. Some books you pick up and you start reading and you're not feeling it. It's hard to stay focused. And about the time we got diverted to Colorado Springs, I was on a section called An Anxious and Worried Mind. This is about the time the announcement comes over the speakers, we're getting diverted. I'm in this section. Almost as if someone was trying to prepare me for what was going to happen. That book I'd almost left at home because I just wasn't feeling it. So this morning I'd like to talk about accepting our circumstances, being thankful, and playing the hand that we're dealt. I think a lot of us, we're on our guard for the big stuff, but the little stuff like this catches us off guard and we maybe don't behave the way we ought. So we're going to talk about that a little bit this morning. So the first thing is understand the source of your circumstances. Understand the source of your circumstances. I'm going to start in Ecclesiastes 9. Verse 11. I'm going to read this from the New International Version. I have seen something else under the sun. The race is not to the swift, or the battle to the strong, nor does food come to the wise, or wealth to the brilliant, or favor to the learned, but time and chance happen to them all. So the first source of your circumstances are chance. God isn't necessarily picking on you, putting his little finger down and saying, let's mess with Derek. We'll put a storm over here, and then on the way back, we'll put a storm over here. No, I don't think that's true. He set up systems, and they continue perpetually. One of those systems happens to be weather. So there's no way for me to know, is that chance or is that fiddling around in there? But it could be either. If you go to Matthew 6, it talks about God caring for us, starting in verse 25. It says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or stow away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life?" So here we see that God does make sure that we have what we need, whether that's because of a result of the systems he has in place or if that's because of his direct intervention. That's still an option. He can intervene if he wants to. And the last one is man's free will. All the decisions that you've made and all the decisions other people around you have made impact your circumstances. So you have chance, you have God's intervention, and you have man's free will. That's the source. Now, what's the purpose? Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Starting in verse 7. This is Paul. He's talking about his thorn in the flesh, which we discussed fairly recently in class. And he says, "To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations," the ones he was given, "there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults and hardships and persecutions and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" So Paul, he needed that humility because he had all these other things that would lift him up. If you don't have humility, you're not going to get across to people. And that's his whole goal. He's trying to get across to people. So he needed to be humble, and in order to be pleasing to God, he needed to be humble. Let's go to Romans 5. Verses 1 through 4. "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us." So this talks about tribulations bring patience, which brings experience, or the King James says character, and that brings hope. The problem is that not all of our tribulations are necessarily going to have a purpose, because some of them are caused by chance. However, how we deal with them has an impact. So we ought to treat them as if each one does have a purpose, because we're meant to react a certain way, whatever the cause is. When I was reading this, I thought a little bit about what Charles was saying on those Focus on the Family videos we watched. They talked about camping and how you go through an ordeal with your family and you kind of grow closer, you have stories, you kind of go through a little adventure together. And I almost wonder if, you know, this was kind of an adventure. It was hectic, but it was kind of an adventure. And I enjoy a good departure from the mundane. And if you're by yourself, you're sort of going through an adventure with God, because there's a lot of praying going on. I'm sure I wasn't the only one. But we're reminded of our powerlessness. If you're in an airport 600 or 700 miles from home and you've got no way to get where you're going, you realize that you don't have a whole lot of power on your own. But I think the purpose of almost all tribulations is growth of some kind. Have you ever watched a movie or read a story where the main character had no challenges of any kind and just sat around and watched TV? It'd be pretty boring, right? There'd be a book you'd have a hard time getting into. Why? Because we need to overcome obstacles to grow. And we need to some sort of obstacle to overcome to feel any sort of sense of accomplishment. If everything really was that rosy, we'd all be bored and miserable. There'd be no challenge. And God knew that. That's how He made us. The next thing is we really need to look at the hand we've been dealt and find the blessings and use them gratefully. I'm going to go to Ephesians 5 and 20. It says, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The King James says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. There are a number of blessings in my experience. The first one is, as irritating as it is to be diverted, they did that so we wouldn't crash. There was no crash. That was good. We didn't know that about the Colorado Springs one because they didn't tell us why we were diverting until we were already landed. I thought maybe a plane had gone down. They didn't want to tell us. But there was no crash. I had no checked luggage. I had one carry-on, so I could move quickly. The timing of the LAX flight, if I'd been 10 minutes later, I would have missed that flight, and I would have missed the whole day in Salt Lake. Gary, the friendly gate agent for American Airlines in Dallas, he made my night. And I sailed through the TSA every time I went through. All those are great blessings. If you've ever traveled, any one of those could be a real question. Especially the TSA. But very good. This brings me back to that verse in Romans 5 talking about tribulations bring patience, which brings experience, which brings hope. I thought that was odd when I first read that. If I'm suffering tribulations, how would that produce hope? Doesn't that sound odd? Well, the flight to Denver told me how. Because when I found out we were diverted again, I kind of had an idea what sort of blessings to look for. I found somebody quickly for a gate so I wouldn't have to wait in a huge line. And there was a flight, just like before, 20 or 30 minutes from leaving. Exit row is a real blessing if you have long legs. All these blessings, they pop up quicker because you've seen them before. And you don't worry so much because you've been through it before. It's sort of like Friday, they told us at work that they're going to have a month-long layoff in October. Well, that can be kind of spooky, but I've been off for over a year before, so it's not that spooky. God's proven Himself. I've never missed a meal because God's watched out for me, sometimes through some of you. So the more these tribulations we come through, the less scary they are because it's old hat. God's taken care of me before. He's proven Himself. He does what He says He's going to do. I don't have to worry about it. Go to 1 Thessalonians 5. And I really don't know how people who don't have God get through their days because they don't have the same assurance as we do. That's scary. But in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 24, it says, faithful is He that calleth you, and also will do it. He's faithful. He hasn't promised us that everything will go rosy and that we'll never get delayed and, you know, everything will go just as we planned. But He has promised us that we'll get through it. He has promised us that nothing can separate us from His love except us, which was highlighted in Alan's lesson last week very well. But part of the challenge of playing the hand that you're dealt is that you don't know what hand you've been dealt. You don't know, you're looking for blessings, and typically when more problems show up, you find more blessings too. ways to deal with them. And if you don't, a lot of times the troubles themselves are actually blessings. For instance, everybody in here has had car trouble at one time or another. Is it possible that that car trouble you had delayed you and kept you from getting into an accident? Is it possible? Is there any way that you'd know? I wouldn't know either. That could be a great blessing. But at the time, it's a flat tire or steam coming out of your radiator. It's a bad deal. It could have been a great blessing. And Paul's thorn in the flesh helped him to remain humble and helped him reach people and save their souls. And that was a great blessing. Because that humility is crucial to get through to those people. Grandma said something in class this morning that I wrote down. She said, not everything's a blessing, but we can make it that way. We can make it that way. The next item is we need to put in perspective and accept the worst case scenario. Because then if you've accepted the worst case scenario, there's nothing left to worry about. So my worst case scenario was that I'd get to Salt Lake a day late or more. If I got there a day and a half late, it'd be getting there and getting back on the plane to head home. Or to Chicago or wherever. That was my worst case scenario. Would that have been the end of the world? I'd be out some time. I had a good story out of it, which I already got. They were recording everything, so I would have had a copy. Wouldn't have been the end of the world. What about more serious problems? You know, what if my health's affected or I'm unable to do certain things? Is that the end of the world? No. Let's look at what Paul says about this in Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. Start in verse 7. Paul's talking about he doesn't have any confidence in the flesh anymore. And he starts in verse 7 and says, but whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. You know, Paul had that thorn in the flesh. He's saying, all this other stuff I valued before is worthless. King James says he values it as dung. It's no more valuable than that. He says it's worthless in comparison to what's coming. If we can accept the worst case scenario here, what might really help us with that is realizing that what we have coming is the absolute best case scenario. It's not the best we can imagine. It's much better than that. We can't even fathom it. And that's what's coming. It's waiting for us. Our troubles here, no matter how severe, are temporary and nothing by comparison. But that's hard to see at the time. So it takes a real effort to remind yourself. Next, tap into God's peace through prayer. I'm going to turn to Galatians 5, starting in verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. So we see here that peace is one of the fruits of the Spirit. And then we'll turn to John 15. Verses 1 through 4. I believe this is Jesus talking. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. So the way you bear fruit, whether it's a fruit of the Spirit or fruit as in more followers or whatever kind of fruit, is you stay in the vine. You stay with Christ. You abide in Him. What better way to abide in Him than to pray with Him or pray to Him? You pray to Him. And I thought it was interesting in this passage, it talks about how He prunes us so that we'll grow more. So some of these tribulations are pruning. He's given us a little snip here or there, causing us to grow. We'll go back to 1 Thessalonians 5 again. Verses 17 and 18. It says, "Pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." So how do we remind ourselves that God is with us and that we're with Him? We pray to Him. We offer praise. We have requests. We give Him thanks when things go well, and we have the Holy Spirit assisting us because we don't really know what we ought to be praying for. Pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. You know, when I read this verse now, I'm reminded of a lesson that Dwight Duckstein gave ages ago on a Nazi POW camp survivor, Corrie Ten Boom. I don't know that much about her, except for I remember, I've never read about her, just heard. Okay, well, I'll borrow the book later. But the one thing I remember is that they came down with lice, and she was praying thanks to the Lord for the lice, and everybody thought she was nuts. And then later on, and she didn't realize this at the time she was praying, later on they realized that the people who ran, you know, the officers and soldiers that ran the camp wouldn't come over to them because they had lice. And so they were able to hide things that way. So it ended up being a blessing, in a way. We don't know what's a blessing and what isn't until after the fact. All right. The next one is, mind your manners and glorify God. And in the parentheses I wrote, if you need to vent, tell God your complaint. Still in 1 Thessalonians 5, if I pick up the last part of verse 14 and then verse 15, it says, "Be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men." It says, be patient toward all men and don't render evil for evil. Often when we're stressed or frustrated, or both, we take it out on those around us, even those who are trying to help. And you see this, the airline situation was perfect for this, to illustrate it. Because you have people getting off a plane, and they'd been told on their itinerary they'd be at this place at this time, and it's not worked out that way. And they're angry or frustrated and upset. They're uncertain where they're going. So where do they go? They go to the help desk, for the airline. And at the help desk, you have a person who wants to help them. But they're giving them an earful about how they've missed their flight, and it's just terrible, and what you need to do is remember to put yourself in that person's place. So I come off the plane. I'm frustrated too. I don't know when I'm going to get home or when I'm going to get to Salt Lake, depending on which flight you're talking about. And I go up there and I see there's three or four people, and they're keeping the line moving pretty good. And I say, "Wow, you look like you're having a fun night." So then they know I'm thinking about them. They say, "Yeah, you know." And so now I'm on their side. They feel better. I've not made a bad example of how a Christian should act in this particular instance. I've had my moments. But in this instance, I haven't. So they feel a lot better. Well, I might as well. I have a list written here of all the things this did. It reflects well on God because we're His. It brightens that person's day or night. They know somebody cares, not everybody's going to yell at them. It helps your attitude because you're not getting yourself worked up. And just from a practical standpoint, it makes them much more motivated to help you, because if you've been obnoxious, then you're going to get what they're obligated to give you. But if you've been friendly and compassionate and you've put yourself in their place, then you'll get what they're able to give you, which are two different things. What they're obligated to give you and what they're able to give you. And we see that in ourselves too, don't we? If you're in a service position, awfully tempting to just give them what you're obligated to give if they're being obnoxious. Not really a good attitude, but the temptation is there. So by way of review, first, our circumstances may be caused by God, by people's choices, including our own, or by chance. But whatever the cause, they can be used for God's purpose and our good by helping us learn to lean on God and helping us grow. And hopefully by being a good example if we carry through well. We should look for and gratefully use the blessings around us. They're there to be found. They're all over the place. Sometimes you have to get creative. God, it's sort of like an Easter egg hunt sometimes with God with blessings. Like in Dallas, the guy at the gate, I just happened to see him, and he didn't look busy, and wandered over. He turned out to be a blessing. I didn't know if he was going to send me back to customer service or not, but that turned out to be a blessing. There's the phrase, God helps those who help themselves, and I think that, I don't think that's found in the scripture anywhere. I think it's basically true. Put it into perspective. The worst case is probably not that bad, and we may be able to do much better than the worst case scenario. The best case scenario is already guaranteed at the end if we're faithful to Christ. Tap into God's peace through prayer. Talk to Him about what's going on and ask for His help. And there's even room for respectfully venting there too. I think God probably prefers us venting to Him than venting to one another if we're going to, if we're about to tear somebody's head off if we start venting to Him. And finally, mind your manners and glorify God. We're not Christians because we're perfect. We're Christians because we know we're not. But we should make every effort to behave well. We should be trying. And we're going to fail once in a while. But those are my thoughts for this morning. Hopefully you've found them useful in some way. And this time we'd like to offer the gospel invitation. If there's anyone here who has not accepted Christ, you don't have those same assurances that we just discussed. Your best case scenario is not guaranteed, but it could be. And we offer that as we stand and sing.